This podcast is a resource of givinglight.org. You're listening to episode 53 of the Giving Light Devotional Podcast. Today's devotion comes from Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, or when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. You see, if we're going to be a powerful people, if we are going to be a people that walk in freedom, we must be able to harness the power of desire and not suppress it. Which may seem confusing to some of you because much of the church has created strategies that suppress desire rather than empowering the believer to activate and steward it. Now, you have to realize that desire is a powerful gift from God, and yes, it requires cultivation and understanding and stewardship. But if we see it as a curse, we'll never embrace it as a true and powerful gift. Let's dive into this a little deeper. I want to define desire in the simplest way possible. Desire is the feeling of wanting something. We all know that feeling. It's the feeling that drives you, that makes you yearn for. It's the feeling that makes you push past discomfort to achieve something. Think of desire as your internal motivator. It's what moves you into action. Now, desire is an innate ability, meaning it's part of our DNA. It's a function of the human design. So when God created mankind in his image, he instilled within them the ability to desire and to be motivated by it. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So that innate ability to desire found in all humans came from the very nature of God. It's not a mistake. It's not a curse. It's a powerful gift that must be cultivated. We've already established that desire is the feeling of wanting something, which is interesting because God is full of passion, full of desire, and yet he needs nothing. So this shows us an important characteristic of desire, that desire is not dependent upon need. Sure, it can relate to it, but it's not dependent upon it. So if desire is not dependent upon our needs, how does it work? It's actually quite simple. The process of desire looks something like this: to see, to want, and then to pursue. You can see this process demonstrated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So God saw the state of the world, he saw the separation, but he loved, he desired reconciliation, he longed for reconciliation, and because he longed for it, he gave, he pursued, he gave action to his passion. Now we are made in his image and likeness, which means we have the ability to see, to perceive, right? To want, to long for, and to desire, and then to pursue after it. So desire is our internal motivator. It's what moves us into action. But ultimately, desire is what fuels our perception. Remember, the process of desire begins with what we see and how we perceive it. Here's a simple example. If our perception or how we see the world was a car, desire is the gasoline to get that car to move. So desire fuels our perception of ourselves, it fuels our perception of others, it fuels our perception of even God. So this is so important to understand. Desire is reactionary. It can only fuel our perception. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, so she saw, she perceived, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, so she not only saw it and perceived it to be good, but she then desired it. She took some and ate it. So do you see the process? To see, to want, and then to pursue. Then let's finish it out. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. This verse confirms that the ability to desire was firmly rooted in Eve before the fall. Remember that desire is an innate ability. So Adam and Eve were accustomed to seeing, to desiring, and pursuing. Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes or when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. So it was not uncommon or out of character for Adam and Eve to see, to want, and to pursue. But part of the purpose of desire is that when it is fulfilled, it produces a harvest of life. What does the scripture say? Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Can you see why desire is such a powerful gift? It's what moves us towards life. It's what moves us towards freedom. Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So from the very beginning, God calls desire good, period. God does nothing by mistake. He does nothing by accident. Desire was imparted to us for a purpose, and that purpose was so that we could walk out a powerful and free life. To see, to want, to pursue is the essence of freedom. Now, the opposite is true. When our desire is used for evil, it will bind us and render us powerless. When I was studying desire, it seemed that most people believed that there was good desire as well as evil desire, two separate entities. I'm sure you know the cartoon where there's an angel on one side and the devil on the other side. Now, I don't believe that there are two entities of desire. I believe that there is desire and God calls it good. So why is it that scripture speaks of both evil and good desires? Because desire will mirror your perception. Now, in those passages, you will also see that the author then challenges their perception. He confronts their way of thinking about themselves, about others, and even about God. So when Adam and Eve chose to eat the fruit of the tree, it was a perversion of a gift. It was a perversion of the gift of desire. Why? Because a lie was believed. The lie affected how they saw, which fueled the action to sin. Like I said before, desire will mirror your perception. Now, desire can only fuel what you see and how you perceive it. Therefore, the moral outcome of desire is a reflection of what you believe to be true. So you don't have good and evil desires battling it out on the inside of you. You have the gift of desire, and God calls it good. If you feel like you're always battling your quote-unquote evil desires, you're putting the cart before the horse. You see, you must first challenge your way of thinking. You must renew your mind so that desire will then fuel your action to do good. And since desire can be traced back to the nature and the heart of God, and from the beginning, he placed it as a key component in the heart of mankind, we have to recognize that desire is a powerful gift from God that requires cultivation, understanding, and stewardship, as well as accountability, which simply means to give an account for your ability. Now, do you want to stifle something that God calls good? Having desire and having your desire fulfilled should be a part of the normal Christian life. If we can understand and steward this gift, it can be the driving force to walk in the fullness of freedom that Christ's sacrifice provides. But first, we must challenge our way of thinking. We must look at the world through the eyes or through the lens of Christ. And once our perception is changed, then desire can be the catalyst. It can be the fuel for transformation. If you would like to have more understanding on this topic, I'll place a link in the description where I preached a full sermon on it. In it, I gave four practical ways that you can begin to steward this powerful gift. Also, make sure you check out the free resource page where you can find questions, activation, and a fine selection of music for your devotional journey. As always, thank you for listening. Until next time, stay hungry and keep seeking.